right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it is finally, after many, many, many months, time to cover another Marvel movie. We are back in the MCU, and we are going to be talking about Black Widow, which was, of course, delayed many times because of the pandemic, but it is now finally out, and we've got a great conversation about it with Rachel Wagner from Rachel's Reviews and the Hallmarkies podcast. And we got a lot of things to talk about with this one. MCU things, spy movie things, action movie things, just all across the board. Lots of great puzzle pieces. So before we get to that, I do want to remind you, as always, to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice, because we have a lot of episodes on the way. Right now, at the time of recording, I've got like 4 that I'm trying to get scheduled in between getting my cat to stop making noise while I'm recording. But anyway, make sure you're subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And don't forget that we also have a Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, that is, which combines bonus content from this podcast, Piecing It Together, as well as Awesome Movie Year, from my music career, all kinds of great stuff over there on the Patreon. It is patreon.com/bydavidrosen, so make sure you check that out. But, you know, you can subscribe to that if you want, but the main thing, keep listening to the podcast, share it with your friends, maybe rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. All that is awesome, and I thank you so much for being out there listening. Just keep listening. That makes me happy. I really appreciate it. So, let's get into this conversation about Black Widow. All right, so the movies must really be back because we are finally talking about another Marvel film here on the podcast. And joining me, it's Rachel Wagner from Rachel's Reviews and the Hallmarkies podcast. Rachel, how you doing? And thank you so much for being here.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this should be fun. You know, I don't know about you. I myself am not like the biggest superhero guy, but of course, as a movie fan, I see all of these movies, and it's fun to be back at one of these.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the Marvel shows, but we haven't had a Marvel movie in a long time. And so it does feel good to be back. I'm a pretty big fan of the MCU. They definitely have their misses for sure. Mm. But overall, I'd say on the franchise, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
And so I was, you know, excited to be back and watching Black Widow, one of my favorite characters in the MCU. So
for sure, for sure. Well, before we dive too deep into Black Widow, why don't you introduce yourself to my listeners, let them know about your podcast and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm a film critic and podcaster. I have a lot of different balls in the air that I manage, but I have a lot of fun doing it. My main outlets are Rachel's Reviews, where I do particularly animation is what I love. Then I'll review other films, and I have family movie night every Monday. And then I have the Hallmarkies podcast, which takes up most of my time, especially during the holidays, where we cover all the Hallmark movies plus rom-coms and holiday films. And it's just really fun.
Awesome. Yeah. Of all the people, you know, that I interact with regularly on Twitter, I mean, you are always around, and I think it's fun that we're finally getting you here on the show, and, you know, I'm sure we're going to have a good time talking about this movie here. So, yeah, let's get into Black Widow. There's a lot of aspects to this movie that I'm sure we are going to get into, from the action to the story to just its place in the overall MCU and all that. But I think we'll get to all that while going through puzzle pieces. So why don't we just like dive right into that right away, and we'll get to all that as we go. But what do you have for your first puzzle piece?
Okay, so for my first puzzle piece, I have Ghost in the Shell, which might seem like a strange pick because Scarlett Johansson was in the live action version of it, and it was a big flop and everything. But I think that you can see an influence from this anime on many things, including the Matrix and many modern action films.
Sure.
But the way that the action is done in this anime and sort of the overall themes of value and the humanity of mankind and all that. I think especially with the whole idea of the Red Room and everything like that, I think you can see some influence of Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, I think so for sure. And, you know, there's a very... The thing I like most about this movie, Black Widow, is just the go-for-broke, over-the-topness of a lot of it, you know, especially once the action is unfolding and the whole third act and all that. It really goes, you know, kind of off the rails. And that's what I want out of these kinds of movies, these superhero movies and things like that. So, you know, definitely... And I actually kind of liked the Ghost in the Shell adaptation. I know there's a lot of problems with it and right down to the casting and everything, but I like an action movie that kind of goes insane and over the top and all that. So I thought it was fun.
I did too. I didn't hate it. I thought it was beautiful and had some interesting things to say. So I know a lot of people that were real sticklers for the anime and like you said, it definitely had its flaws, but overall, I thought it was okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just not as a full on puzzle piece, but I'll just kind of like combine onto Ghost in the Shell and add in Lucy as well, another previous Scarlett Johansson action movie, Luc Besson. But you know, just these two movies just proved that she should be making a movie like this, something that where it's just a big, huge blockbuster, you know, as big a budget as you can get and just going huge on the action, because you know, Scarlett Johansson deserves it. She does this really, really well.
Yeah, and I think that she does that kind of slightly mysterious but still approachable kind of thing. Sure. Going, I mean, whether it's under the skin or her, or you know, she has that sort of presence about her, I think.
Yeah.
In sci-fi that works quite well.
Absolutely. So I'll go on to another puzzle piece that I had here, and this is one on our trailer episode. My guest had brought it up, and I didn't get it from the trailer, but then once I watched the actual movie, I was like, oh yeah, this definitely is a good puzzle piece to bring into this conversation, and that's the TV series The Americans, which I didn't fully watch. My wife watched it, and I caught episodes here and there, but the series with Kerry Russell and Matthew Rhys as Russian spies who are sent to kind of infiltrate America and gather information, and, you know, they're living this completely normal American life until that phone call, you know, comes through, and it's time to go back to Russia with all the information and all that stuff, and that is kind of where the entire family aspect of this, which is such an important aspect of the story here with Black Widow, is that background of what she grew up in as a child and how that normal life was kind of taken away from her. And then she became, you know, the Natasha that we all know, the Black Widow character. So that kind of spy Russian thing that is kind of ingrained in a lot of film history, a lot of spy type movies and things like that, was so prevalent in the Americans. And I think it's kind of the same structure that they took with how to set up this character here in Black Widow.
Aren't they also sort of a forced family, like in The Americans? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, so it's all part of that same cover of trying to fit in and just be the nuclear family or whatever they call it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that that's a good show. It's so hard to find time to watch television shows.
I'm the same way.
There's such a time commitment.
When my wife says that this is the show we're watching, that's what I watch. Otherwise, it's like movie for me. But
Yeah.
So what do you got for your next piece?
So I have my next piece is The Royal Tenenbaums.
Okay.
From Wes Anderson. I feel like you could have picked a lot of Wes Anderson just in the family dynamic. Mm-hmm. It was kind of, I think, what they might have been trying to go for. But here you have this very eclectic family with the three, you know, children that are all sort of hyper accomplished, but weird. And and I think that at least with Florence Pugh and Scarlett Johansson's characters, you have a little bit of that dynamic with like sibling rivalry. Mm-hmm. And they're both kind of quirky. And then definitely with the dad, I think you have some of that quirkiness as well. You didn't get as much of Rachel Weisz's character as I think we'd like. Yeah. But there's still, I think, a little quirkiness in there too. I don't know. I just think you can see some connections.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hadn't thought of it until you brought it up, but definitely as far as like quirky families go, Wes Anderson is the best when it comes to that kind of thing. Yeah. And the Royal Tenenbaum, I love that movie so much. And yeah, I mean, this family, absolutely. And you kind of have to imagine any family that's gone through all this stuff, it's kind of, you know, I mean, it's a comic book movie, but you got to imagine that that sense of humor and that sense of silliness that runs through it is the thing that's going to kind of keep them together in the times of being super spies. You know?
Yeah.
I kind of want to see a Wes Anderson spy movie now, actually.
Yeah, that would be fun. There's that, it wasn't a spy movie, but it was like a little bit closer was the one with the brothers.
The Darjeeling Limited?
Yeah. That one had a little bit of that feel.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, I guess, should we talk, are we going to talk about the, like, did you like Black Widow? Did you think it was a good movie?
Yeah, I actually did. I liked it a lot. And I think that this movie genuinely has some of the best action sequences I've seen. And maybe it's just I haven't seen a Marvel movie in a while, but it definitely is better on the action front than those last couple of Avengers movies or the last one, which was the Spider-Man one. I just thought that the action sequences were fantastic. And that is, you know, again, what I go to these movies for. The family dynamic is a lot of fun as well. I think it's a little undercooked, but it's, you know, it's fun when it's there.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was like, if you were going to say that if there's like a base hit Marvel movie, I would say that this is like it. It didn't like wow me or anything, but it was thoroughly entertaining and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, while we're talking about Marvel movies, I guess I'll get this one out of the way. I had one Marvel movie MCU puzzle piece on my list, and I wanted to find one that felt like its own self-contained thing, and I thought of Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's very different tone, a much funnier movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and much just sillier, you know, going for that kind of a vibe. But just the fact that the other Avengers don't show up, you know, spoiler alert, but, you know, no other Avengers show up. It's just this person's story. It's about them and their close-knit circle, their family, their friends, you know, just the people in their particular circle outside of everything else going on with the Avengers and all that, you know, gigantic stuff that's happening out there in the overall MCU. Makes me think of the Ant-Man, both movies really, but especially Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that, but I can see what you're saying. And I thought that movie was somewhat underrated because I think that the Ghost as a villain was actually a pretty good one for Marvel.
Yeah,
I think that you totally understood her motivation and why she was doing what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought it was good. The whole Walter Goggins villain, he was a waste. He was lame. And they did spoil a lot of that movie in a lot of the big action set pieces were kind of spoiled in the trailer.
Yeah, that's true.
Which was a bummer. But if you can ignore all of that, it was pretty entertaining. I think that it didn't necessarily get the praise that it deserved because I think everybody was so high on Infinity War.
Right.
So then going to
I'm a big Ant-Man and the Wasp defender myself. I love that movie. It's probably my favorite of all of these movies because, you know, again, I'm not like a superhero guy. And to me, it's just a fun movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And Paul Rudd.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
He's the greatest. I love him so much.
He definitely is.
yeah. I thought about a lot of different movies on the MCU you could pick as influential on this film. But the one that I came down on was actually kind of the opposite thought of you, where you wanted one that was only about one of the Avengers. Mm-hmm. I picked Captain America Civil War because I think that it shows the battle that Natasha was going through about family so well, you know, because this is her Avengers family.
Yeah.
And she's really split between the two. She ends up on Team Iron Man. But she's very loyal to Steve Rogers as well, and so the conflict I think was built up so well up to Civil War with the idea that Tony wants to secede his agency to the government with the Accord, and he is scared. I mean, why wouldn't he be after he created Ultron?
Right.
He's going to be scared of what he can do and what he can create. And whereas the last thing that Steve is going to want to do is secede control to the government when they literally had just had just tricked him with S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra and everything in Winter Soldier. So he had just been betrayed by the government, whereas Tony had just kind of betrayed himself. So you see that growth of those two characters and why, of course, they're going to come into conflict. And it just, to me, it was so well done.
Yeah.
And so smart. And I mean, you can make the argument that there should have been more collateral between this clash of these two teams, I guess.
Right.
But I'm willing to forgive that because I thought that the character development was so well done and it was such a fun spectacle.
Sure.
And it's hard to find good spectacle entertainment, I feel like, these days. You know, we just had Fast 9 come out and it was so hollow, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And kind of bland. I don't know. I would way rather watch this, Civil War, than watch that.
Right.
So I think this not only is a good example of the familial conflict within the Avengers, but also of Natasha and her position, especially heading into Black Widow, which, because this is in the timeline, this is the film before it.
Mm-hmm.
So it really sets up her state of mind going into the movie.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I almost included a Fast and Furious on my list because, you know, this is all about family after all. But I decided I'm kind of Fast and Furious now after the lead up to 9. So
the last two were just not good, in my opinion.
I like 8, but 9 is not good. But I also, with Civil War, I mean, I was mentioning earlier how I really love the action moments in this movie. I think Civil War is another one that stands out within this 24 now film arc of some of the best action sequences that Marvel has been able to put together. I wonder how this movie, obviously we're recording this just before Black Widow actually comes out to theaters. We both got to see it early. I wonder how this would have played if it had come out right after Civil War and got to just continue chronologically the story. You know, we'll never know, but I have a feeling it would have been, you know, a huge, huge follow-up to all those events.
Yeah, I think so. I think it would be a big thing. I mean, it is hard because there is a certain lack of stakes because you know what the end is.
Mm-hmm.
And not that anybody really dies in Marvel anyway.
Sure.
So, I mean,
in anything, Fast and Furious too.
I mean, I just saw that even Heimdall's back in the new Thor movie. So there's literally nobody who's died.
It's the number one problem with the blockbuster filmmaking nowadays. There's no stakes to any of it.
None. Whether it's DC or Marvel,
yes,
they're all coming back. Don't worry.
Totally true.
Don't get too sad. I mean, that's why everybody could die in Infinity War and everybody's just like, okay.
Yeah, sure. 50% of the universe, but they're back.
Yeah.
They're back.
They're all back. Loki's back. Of course he's back. So, you know, and that's true in comic books as well as even not just movies, but in the comic books also.
Absolutely.
Well,
I'll go on to another piece here. This was one of the first ones that came to mind when the trailer first came out, and just knowing that we were going to dig deep into the backstory of the Black Widow character. And I thought of 2018's Red Sparrow with Jennifer Lawrence, another film about a Russian top secret super spy program in which these girls are trained to just be like the ultimate assassins. And, you know, we get the inside of that whole organization and everything that they go through and the effects that kind of training has on these people growing up and where it's like their entire life. And that's all they really get to know. And I think that's something that's been explored in other movies as well, for sure. But these two movies, you know, they definitely have similar vibes in the way that they approach the effects that kind of training would have on a person.
Yeah, I can say I haven't ever seen that movie.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely there's the theme of the Red Room is present in both.
Yes. From what I've heard. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I heard that's a pretty intense. I heard that's a pretty intense one.
Yeah.
Intense film.
It is. It's very intense. Mm-hmm. I like Jennifer Lawrence. I think that she does a great job in that mm-hmm. movie. But what do you got for your next piece?
My next pick, I think some people get annoyed when you compare female superhero movies to other female superhero movies, mm-hmm. but I don't understand because they're very similar. So, of course, we're going to compare them.
Sure.
So I think Wonder Woman in the 2000 original Wonder Woman 2017 uh-huh. Is a natural comparison because you have both of them are characters that have a natural warmth to them, but then are also very strong.
Mm-hmm.
I think they find that balance very well. And it's one of the things I love about Wonder Woman, the original, is that you have these moments of sweetness and kindness mm-hmm. from Diana. So she's not just like a bland kick butt kind of character.
Yeah.
Like when she's cooing over a baby or excited about ice cream. Or so those are some of my actual favorite parts of the movie because I think it makes her just a fully rounded character that we are attached to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when they're dancing, and I love it when he says the one person, the one soldier, and he says, is thinking about like giving up. And she says, well, then who would sing for us? I love moments like that in the movie, and the chemistry between Chris Pine and Gal Gadot. It was so great. And I mean, I just like bawling when he makes his sacrifice at the end. And
oh, yeah.
And she realizes that it wasn't all about Ares, you know, that it was people and they wanted to go to war, you know, that there was a hatefulness about mankind that she didn't understand.
Right, right.
Until that moment. And it's so like moving and devastating. And I just absolutely love the movie. I think it's so good. And even stuff that other people don't like, I like. A lot of people don't like the third act. I like the third act.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love the movie. I just love Diana as a character and her transformation. The thing I like about the third act is, like I said, her kind of, it's like a god coming to understand the weakness of man. And her realizing that we did this to each other and it wasn't Ares is so devastating. And so that's what I like about it. But I don't know. I just love it. And I think that Black Widow has some moments like that. It certainly doesn't go as intense because it's not a war movie. Mm-hmm. But I think when, you know, she comes to some realizations about her family and about what happened to her and to these other women in the Red Room and how, you know, kind of evil people can be. There's moments there and, you know, with her moments of betrayal and her forgiving and all of that, that I think you see in, but I think more it's that blending of strength and softness.
Right.
In both films that really works, I think, well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's totally fair to compare those two films. I mean, there's also the feminist angle of what's, you know, what's being explored with the character and especially the character's relationship to the villains in the movies. And that's something that I think, you know, I think it's done really well here in Black Widow. And I think it was done pretty well in Wonder Woman as well. Mm-hmm. I wonder, you know, how long it's going to take until we get movies where that doesn't have to be a big part of the, you know, the drama of it, where they could just simply kick the villain's ass and that's the end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, but that to me sounds kind of bland. Like to me, I like the sort of added, to me it adds like a second dimension of the character that there's that combination of softness and strength.
Sure.
And I think that we too often see traditional femininity, nurturing, motherhood, those kinds of things that we see it as being weak
mm-hmm.
when actually it can be very strong. And so I like that combination of sort of a kick butt woman, but also a that you can still be, you can still coo at babies,
right?
And, you know, the kind of thing. But yeah, so I hope that never goes away personally.
Sure, sure. And one thing I do love, and I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Chris Pine, but I do like that there's not really like a love interest character here in Black Widow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we get the one guy who she's kind of got the friendship with, the guy from The Handmaid's Tale. I don't know his name, but...
That guy was weird, though. I didn't understand, like, what are we supposed to do with him?
Right, he is a very strange character.
They're, like, flirting and stuff, and then, of course, we'll never hear about him again. So I was just kind of like, I don't understand why they included him. I thought it was a weird, that was a weird.
Yeah. Character. I guess they just needed someone for her to get her tech from, I guess, you know, someone to drop stuff off.
strange. I was like, are we all of a sudden going? I mean, what? I don't know. He was a weird character. I thought.
Hopefully he shows up in the eventual, Florence Pugh spinoff that,
maybe.
You know, that's the only thing I can hope for. But speaking of which, we haven't spoken too much about Florence Pugh yet. I mean, she really is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I know it's dominating most of the reviews is how she's the standout in the Black Widow movie and how, you know, why'd they go and do that. But at the same time, I mean, she is just undeniably so much fun in this movie.
Yeah, she's really fun, and they have nice chemistry together as sisters. You feel that. It's the main relationship of the film, which I think is great. I have three sisters myself, so I think that's definitely something I can relate with. And I mean, it starts out with a great action scene between the two of them.
Yeah.
And kind of builds from there. She's great. I mean, she has certainly managed to do a variety of films and variety of roles.
Oh, yeah.
So far, I feel like it's only time till she has. It feels like she's kind of like Alicia Vikander, and I think that she's gonna have an Oscar before too long, or Brie Larson. I just feel like that. I don't know, she's sort of this next. There's always the next big thing,
sure.
You know, kind of type of person. But she's great, and she's very warm and likable. I mean, we all loved her in Little Women.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and I know a lot of people loved Midsommar. And,
yeah.
So she's a very good actress. And I think that she's really good here. And I guess she's going to be in the Hawkeye thing, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, possibly. I mean, I guess we'll find out. But it would make sense based on, you know, everything that happens. But I guess we'll see. Yeah. Well, I'll go on to another puzzle piece here. And I got to admit, bringing this one up, I'm not a very big Bond expert. But James Bond has to make its way into this conversation because this is essentially Marvel doing a Bond movie. And, you know, I'm planning a big Bond rewatch. Well, most of the movies, honestly, I've never even seen. So they'll be first time watches, but a big marathon before the new one comes out finally later this year. But I know the one movie that a lot of people before me have already brought up is Moonraker, and its villain Hugo Drax, who is very, very similar to Dracoff here with his, in that case, a moon base, but here it's just like a sky base. And with his army of, you know, people that are villains, and he's just got every last resource at his disposal. And, you know, it could go very cheesy in a way that a lot of those earlier Bond movies do, but here it's kind of is done really well. Ray Winstone is just a lot of fun to watch as this villain, even though it is kind of a cliche kind of character. I mean, you see him, and as soon as he's on screen, it's like, oh, this is a Bond villain. I mean, this is almost an Austin Powers villain. I mean, you know, that's how over the top it kind of is as a performance. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Bond here from the spy stuff and the espionage and the double crosses and all the things that go along with a Bond movie.
Even I feel like the Russian element is kind of a little bit Bondish.
Totally. Yeah.
I actually am also not very well versed in Bond. I've seen the Daniel Craig, I've seen the Pierce Brosnan, but a couple others here and there, but I haven't seen Moonraker. I haven't seen very many of the, I don't think I've seen any of the Roger Moore movies, and I think maybe I've seen one of the Sean Connery, so I'm way, way behind.
I'm in the same boat as you,
to
right
Bond.
There. Yeah, I will be watching a bunch of them, though. I'm gonna find a nice list of the ones I have to watch before No Time to Die, and then I'm gonna I'm going to have a nice little binge.
Well, you should ask Griffin Schiller. He's the, I don't know if you follow him on Twitter, but he is the king of Bond.
Okay.
He will be able to give you some good advice.
Okay. I'm going to check that out for sure.
Yeah. Well, my last choice for a piece is, I was trying to think of a martial arts movie that I thought would kind of be interesting to talk about. And one of my favorites is the movie Ip Man.
Okay.
There's been a bunch of sequels, and I have to admit, I haven't seen any of those, but the first one is awesome. It's so good.
Yeah.
And it's based on a true story about this guy, Ip Man, who was this teacher of martial arts. He taught Bruce Lee and many other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it has some of the most incredible action set pieces you've ever seen. Particularly this one scene where he fights off like a whole room of just one man fights off a whole room of assassins. And it's incredible. And there's nothing that incredible in Black Widow. I'm not trying to say it is, but it definitely has a little bit of that martial arts kind of feel to it. It's like, it has a little bit of a grit to it that you don't necessarily see in all the rest of the Marvel movies.
Definitely.
And if you haven't seen Ip Man, it's very good.
Yeah, it's funny. This movie starts out very much does not feel like a Marvel movie at all. It feels like something completely different for that first like 15, 20 minutes or so. And as it gets going, it gets more and more Marvel until the big, you know, climax, jumping off of a exploding ship and, you know, all that stuff. But
yeah,
I mean, you know, like I said earlier, my number one thing that like was my big takeaway, and I'm sure not everybody's going to agree with me on this. You know, everybody, you know, it's all subjective, but I really love the action sequences in this. And I haven't seen Ip Man since it first came out. And it's actually on my list of things that I've been wanting to rewatch because it's come up on the podcast before. And I need to revisit that one of these days. But yeah, as far as action sequences go, that movie is obviously like awesome for that. And
yeah.
Yeah, and I love the action sequences in this, so I definitely think that's a good piece to bring up. I'll bring up my last piece, and that is The Kingsman from Matthew Vaughn from 2014. Mm-hmm. Just the idea of all these kind of like mind-controlled assassins who are kind of fighting against their will, and I haven't seen that movie since it came out. I remember loving it at the time, but I've never revisited it, but I kind of think that there's like a tech billionaire guy who's got some kind of chip in everybody that's making them into these mindless henchmen or something like that, and then he blows them all up. But that just kind of reminded me of the way that they've got this toxin that's keeping all these henchmen subservient, and then they're, you know, good fodder for Black Widow and what is it, Yelena, the Florence Pugh character.
Yelena.
Yeah, for the two of them to just totally take out one after another. So
yeah, I can see that. I actually have not seen Kingsman, believe it
okay.
or not. I know, but I've heard that's the story. So
yeah,
that makes sense, and sort of the stylized action.
Yeah,
I think would definitely fit
awesome.
this film. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and do the finished puzzle here and read off the list of everything we just talked about, and then we'll get into some closing thoughts. We talked about Ghost in the Shell and Lucy, The Americans, The Royal Tenenbaum, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain America Civil War, Red Sparrow, Wonder Woman, the Bond films, including Moonraker, Ip Man, and The Kingsman. Lots of great action throughout this, lots of spy stuff, a little bit of other Marvel stuff in there, of course. Did you have any other thoughts on this movie that you wanted to get to that we didn't quite get to within the puzzle pieces?
No, I mean, I think that it's an interesting thing that both of the female-led Marvel movies in the MCU were both prequels.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting that I just feel a little bit like they lacked the courage to do it in the right timeline.
Sure.
So then they were kind of making up for both of them. But I'm curious, I know people don't like comparing, but I think it's fair to compare. What would you prefer, this or Captain Marvel?
I very much like this a lot more than Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. I love Brie Larson. I just thought that the story in that movie just kind of did nothing for me.
Mm-hmm. I really liked the sort of like team up kind of buddy cop element, mm-hmm. and I liked seeing Agent Coulson back. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think this is stronger than Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And I think it's partly just because we care about Natasha as a character already.
Yes.
We start in.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think
invested.
Like we were saying earlier, how this would have played if it had come out after Civil War. This is such a important character within this overall arc. And I mean, we've been with these characters for so many movies now. And we want to see more about Natasha. We want to know more about her. We want to see further continued adventures. And, you know, who knows if we'll get another Black Widow movie. I mean, I imagine we won't just because of the timeline at this point. But, you know, you never know, I guess. We'll see how this does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see if they could kind of find a way to squeeze one more in
there. Yeah.
I mean, they can do it if they're, I mean, they can have a movie about just one day if they want.
Sure.
So why not?
Yeah.
Why not? I know a lot of people were kind of irritated the way they used the Taskmaster, because evidently it's a pretty cool character in the comics. But I think what people need to understand is that Marvel movies are not about, they're not about villains. They're about the heroes.
Yeah.
They're about building up the heroes and getting you attached to the heroes. And whereas like the DC movies are honestly probably more about the villains than they are about the heroes.
Sure.
And I personally would take Team Heroes.
That's just fair.
My personality.
That's fair. My personality.
And I get attached to the heroes. So I didn't mind it, but I know some people were. I mean, it was very bland. Taskmaster was nothing. Mm-hmm. It was just a tool to get the characters to interact.
Speaking of Taskmaster, I did forget to bring that up when talking about Bond. The, you know, perfect, like, unstoppable villain's henchman that shows up every single time, you know? That's another mm-hmm. that's another Bond cliche that's used here very well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that does it for Black Widow. I think we got to you know, most of the main points about it. But yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. And while I'm not, you know, I haven't watched any of the Marvel shows. Like I said, I never have time for TV for the most part.
Oh, you got it. So
everyone
good.
Says I got to at least watch Loki, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll get to it one of these days. But
I did love WandaVision and Loki.
Yeah.
But I mean, so far Loki has been great.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Okay.
Falcon and the Winter Soldier, you can skip.
Okay.
It wasn't great.
All right. Well, yeah, I think that does it for Black Widow. Is there another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend to our listeners?
Yeah. So I really enjoyed the Mitchells versus the Machines.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix. I really loved the family. It was, if we're talking about a certain other dysfunctional family
sure.
kind of story. I really enjoyed that family. The Mitchells definitely connected with it. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was very clever. I really related to Katie as a character. Especially her love for movies, obviously, is going to bond. I just really enjoyed the story and the characters, and thought it was a great sort of mashup of comedy and sci-fi elements. I'd recommend that.
Great movie. One of my favorites of the year. You know, I hadn't even thought about that, but that movie kind of makes a great companion piece with Black Widow because mm-hmm. of the whole wacky family going on an adventure aspect.
Right.
So great recommendation there. But awesome. Rachel, why don't you tell people again where they can find you and your podcast and everything?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. You can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all over social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. Please check that out. I do weekly family movie night picks on Mondays, and we have lots of fun podcasts on Disney and other fun topics. And then also over at the Hallmarkies podcast, we have weekly interviews, we have recaps, we talk the shows, Heartland, Good Witch, When Calls the Heart, all that fun stuff. We have a great time over at the Hallmarkies podcast. So those are sort of my main hubs. I also do a little show twice a month called The Criterion Project with my friend Conrado, where we talk the Criterion Channel. So I'm kind of a little bit all over the place, but I have a great time doing it. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for being here, and hopefully we can get you back again sometime.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much. Thank you.
My name is Dan Delgado, and I'm inviting you to take a different look at the industry you know and love. On my podcast, The Industry, we're focusing on the lesser-known stories, things that went on in the background and under the radar, or maybe just forgotten entirely. Runaway productions, insane decisions, and just overall weirdness is what's going on in this industry. And every once in a while, things do work out. The Industry, a podcast presented by Movie Maker. Get it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Black Widow. Thanks to Rachel for joining me on that one. Make sure to check out her podcast and her film criticism and everything that she does. And thank you so much for listening. If you like what you hear here on Piecing It Together, make sure you are subscribed wherever you listen to podcasts. Like I said, we have a lot of episodes on the way. So if you get subscribed, you'll find out about them as soon as they come out. You can also follow us on social media, of course. We are at Piecing Pod. We also have a Facebook group called Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. It's a really fun place to talk about movies. There's always Marvel conversations going on in there, of course. I mean, how could there not be when it comes to movies nowadays? But lots of other stuff as well. There's a really great range of people in there. And everybody's just really cool. So if you like talking movies and want a place to do it that doesn't have all the trolls of most Facebook movie groups, you should check it out. Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. Also, we do have a Patreon. I want to remind you that. It is the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I combine content from this podcast, from Awesome Movie Year. They have a bonus episode up right now on 2003's Old Boy. And we're currently in the 1967 season of Awesome Movie Year, and I'm sure we'll be doing a bonus episode from that season as well sometime in about a month from now. So, yeah, lots of great content. And then also I post a lot of stuff from my music career. Right now we have these album-length commentaries for my albums that are out there. And I have an entire soundtrack album I'm going to be posting soon that will be exclusive to the Patreon. So lots of great stuff. So check that out. It is patreon.com/bydavidrosen. So let's close this thing out with a piece of music like I always do. And I know I've played this on the show before, but it definitely fits, especially with that big ending scene of Black Widow where they're all falling from the sky after the entire sky base blows apart and they're flying through the air and all the action's happening. And I think this song, Free Fall, from my album Head Like Fire would have fit pretty well. So enjoy this track. It is called Free Fall. The album Head Like Fire is available on iTunes, on Spotify, on all those kinds of places. So if you like the song, check out the rest of the album. And we'll be back with more Piecing It Together coming out real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.